In the name of the Father, the creator of all, under the shadow of whose throne history runs in its courses. The Son, in whose remembrance is the wisdom that guards all our days. And the Holy Spirit, who enlightens us as we press toward the glory of the eternal reign of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
The New Testament reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand.
Thank you.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. For we do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. We proclaim ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Because God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'm a little fearful about this day and this sermon. And maybe fearful is too strong a word. I'm apprehensive. I'm very apprehensive. This is a wonderful day. The 175th anniversary, the SMP calls. Today is a mountaintop experience. The weather, notwithstanding, today is a glorious, glorious day. But what I'm apprehensive about is when Monday comes, will everything go back to normal? When Monday comes, will everything go back to normal? Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Will the routine dim the glorious vision? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Will the routine diminish the urgency we have for the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ? Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thank God it's Friday! I'm out of here! Will the routine, day after day, week after week, month after month, will the routine make Jesus routine? Jesus in a box, Jesus in the chapel, Jesus in our little books. When Monday comes, will everything go back to normal? Dear God, help us to have to continue to have a heart for the mission of this seminary. Dear God, you're the one who said, let light shine out of darkness. You made this creation. And for those of us who are blessed to know Jesus, all creation is like a finger pointing to Jesus. For you who made light shine out of darkness have shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of your Son in Jesus Christ. A student, Nick Price. I'm kind of morphing out of the prayer now to talk to you. That's the way it goes in the life of faith. Talk to God, talk to the people, back and forth. So I'm morphing into a direct address now. Seminary Nick Price shared with me a chapter from a book written by Paul David Tripp. And the title of this chapter is Big Theological Brains and Heart Disease. And Paul David Tripp coins a word, theologeeks. Theologeeks. Theologians, theologeeks. And he said, those are the guys who see theology as an end in itself. He goes on to say, academic Christianity, which is not consistently connected to the heart and puts its hope in knowledge and skill, can actually make students dangerous. It arms them with powerful knowledge and skills that can make the students think that they are more mature and godly than they actually are. It arms students with weapons of spiritual warfare that, if not used with humility and grace, will harm the people they are meant to help. Oswald Chambers, what a great devotional writer, what a great stimulant to put our eyes on Jesus. Oswald Chambers compares the human heart to the depth of the ocean. The ocean in some places is miles and miles deep, but the human heart, my heart, your heart, is even deeper, and so much of it is unknown. And as deep as our heart is, so it is in many corners as dark as those depths of the ocean which have never seen the light. Baptism brought the light into your heart and into mine. But baptism doesn't drive out all the darkness. I, when I deal with you, need to be gentle because I need to keep in my mind that the darkness in your heart is trying to overwhelm the light that God has put there. And as we deal with one another, we need to see one another first and foremost as somebody with a heart. Yes, a head, but a heart wherein the darkness is trying to overwhelm the light. And our mission with one another is to stress the light, which the darkness cannot overwhelm. And that light is Jesus. The God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Dear God. Dear God, help us to meet one another and to move forward your mission in this world with heart. Heart in which the darkness lurks, but your spirit, the spirit of Christ, will overwhelm that darkness. Dear God, help us also to meet one another and to go out in the world knowing that we have no authority. God, Dale Meyer here. As you know, I'm the big poobah on this campus. I have authority. And a voice comes from heaven. You have squat authority. Don't you remember that you are a lost and condemned creature? And that I have purchased and won you from sin, death, and the devil, not by gold or silver, but by the precious blood of my Son. And with his suffering and death, not with gold or silver, but with Jesus. So that you, Dale, so that you might be my own and live under me, live under me. Be my own, live under me, and serve me. We do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, every one of us here this morning is in an authority structure. You may be higher, you may be lower, you may have people who take orders from you, you may be one who has to take the orders. That's just for our life together. When we meet one another, we are not to meet one another as people in an authority structure, but as servants. Servants who know and respect the heart and the struggles that that person in front of us has. That person in front of us put there by God, even sometimes at inconvenient times. Monday through Friday. And Saturday and Sunday, too. We have heart because the light has come into our hearts. And Monday through Friday and Saturday, Sunday, too. We rejoice in whatever it is the daily routine brings. St. Paul says earlier in 2 Corinthians, we do not lord it over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy, for it is by faith you stand with heart as servants. Let me close the sermon by reading from a German pastor of the 19th century, Karl Büchsel. And you may have heard this before, but I think it really applies as we look at the struggles of our heart, how we relate to one another, and this glorious ministry that remains ahead of our seminary. Büchsel pictures a setting in the country. There's a rural church, and then he pictures the parsonage sitting next to it, and behind the church is the graveyard. So as I read this, think of the seminary. Next to the church comes the parsonage. The study window looks out upon the churchyard, and if the pastor wants to see the steeple near, the cross on the top of our chapel, he must raise his head and eyes higher than other people need. The bell that summons to prayer has, too, a louder voice for him than for the rest of the inhabitants, and the graves speak in deeper tones to his ear. The parsonage garden runs along the churchyard wall, and a door opens out of it to the bench under the old lime tree from which one can overlook both sides of the village. Each one who passes up and down the street has an undying soul, and of each one the pastor must give account as to whether he has sought, urged, and allured as a good shepherd should. On that branch bench under the lime tree, how many silent intercessions must indeed be poured out. And nor is intercession all. The Lord said to Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak to the people, that they go forward." Outwardly, the parsonage, the place where seminarians live, the place where professors and board members live, outwardly, the parsonage is a house like others, but whenever the devil goes about the village seeking his prey and planning where best he can spread his net, he goes about the parsonage three times and looks into every window. And most of all, he rejoices if the door of that house be open to him, and he cannot only make his way in accidentally, but rule there and even hold his ground in the study without being annoyed by prayer and the reading of scriptures. Watching and praying are the only bolts this thief fears. A parsonage is either a house of prayer or a very den of iniquity. There is no peace indeed for any of the ungodly, but a minister who lives without prayer and struggle is the poorest and most miserable man in the whole village. Brothers and sisters, I have laid out my heart. This is a glorious day, and the light of the day's glory is a salvation that comes to me and comes to you deep down in Jesus Christ. When Monday comes, will everything go back to normal? Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
brothers and sisters in Christ. In the service this morning, we have the privilege and joy of announcing the assignments of the men who have been part of the fall 2012 specific ministry pastor cohort. These men have been serving as vicar in the congregation to which they will now be called to serve as pastor. All have been certified by the faculty and declared ready to receive calls into pastoral ministry. For some, the calls have been completed and they have been approved by the Council of Presidents acting as a board of assignments for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. For others, we are awaiting the arrival of the call documents and the appropriate approval of the Council of Presidents. They will be announced as call in process. Joining me in the chancel to greet and congratulate these men on this special day are Dr. Dale Meyer, President of Concordia Seminary, Dr. Andrew Bartelt, Director of SMP, and Dr. Wally Becker, Assistant Director of SMP. These assignments are pending satisfactory completion of coursework for SMP Course 109, Lutheran Confessions. President Meyer, members and friends of Concordia, this is the candidate class of the 2012 specific ministry pastor cohort. Will the candidates please rise and move to the aisle? As I read your name and placement, please come forward to receive your documents. Jordan Balk, call in process, Mount Olive Lutheran Church, Weston, Wisconsin, North Wisconsin District. Thomas Beck, Faith Lutheran Church, Marietta, Georgia, Florida, Georgia District. William Michael Cody, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Iowa Park, Texas, Texas District. Eduardo Quinn, Trinity Lutheran Church, Norwalk, California, Pacific Southwest District. Carl Eliason, Peace Lutheran Church, Grand Island, Nebraska, Nebraska District. Daniel Howard, call in process, Hope Lutheran Church, Warren, Michigan, Michigan District. Jacob Hoyer, Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Lake Mary, Florida, SELC District. Mark Jennings, call in process, Our Savior Lutheran Church, Bellflower, California, Pacific Southwest District. Christopher Johnson, Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Lake Mary, Florida, SELC District. Bradley Jurish, St. Timothy Lutheran Church, Houston, Texas, Texas District. Douglas Moss, Family of Christ Lutheran Church, Colorado Springs, Colorado, Rocky Mountain District. Morris Mayer, The Village Lutheran Church, Bronxville, New York, Atlantic District. Kevin Manjo, St. Paul's Lutheran Church, New Hartford, Connecticut, New England District. Herman Novelli, Grace Lutheran Church, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, South Wisconsin District. Kurt Steinbrook, Family of Christ Lutheran Church, Tampa, Florida, SELC District. William Whitehead, Family of Christ Lutheran Church, Tampa, Florida, SELC District. Thomas Winters, call in process to Concordia Lutheran Church, San Antonio, Texas, Texas District. We pray God's richest blessings as you serve him and his people.
You're invited to stand for prayer. Most high and holy God, maker of the universe and ruler of the church, accept our thanks for the blessings of the past 175 years of Concordia Seminary, and continue to bless it with your grace and presence. For founding fathers and all the men and women of the church who contributed their prayers, their talents, and their resources to the building of this school, especially those gathered here this day, we thank you, God. For leaders in the church and administrators of the seminary who sought your will by word and prayer and who led others to make improvements to the physical plant and to the program of instruction, we thank you, God. For Christian parents and faithful spouses who gave guidance and support to students at this seminary, we thank you, God. For professors who know God and love him, and who reveal their commitment to the kingdom by their actions among us, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For students who know God and love him, and who seek to learn the way of a shepherd of God's people, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For staff members who know God and love him, and who serve the needs of the campus, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For missionaries, for all who travel, for peace and concord and the safety of all in the St. Louis area this weekend, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all people who from this seminary's graduates hear of God's love in Christ, are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and in the Lord's Supper, receive the body and blood of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. As we celebrate this anniversary, Lord God, mercifully hear the prayers of your church. Grant that we may faithfully serve you now, and that we may be instruments of your salvation to many, so that your kingdom and reign may grow and your glory resound among all peoples everywhere. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You are invited to be seated. Thank you. You're invited to stand. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father of glory, Christ our peace, and the Spirit of truth be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.